listening to Fox Sports Radio. This is Straight Out of Vegas. With the voice of Vegas, your host, RJ Bell. The pregame show America has always wanted. I doubt the future. I doubt the future. From the Vegas Strip, here's RJ Bell.
You heard it. I'm RJ live, coast to coast, 6 o'clock Eastern, 3 o'clock here in Vegas. Action packed hour for you this Tuesday. That's right, Fez, Tuesday. We're going to do something a little different today. I think this AAF story is bigger than almost anyone is getting. And I think we're going to be out ahead of it. And we've got the perfect guest for it. And like breaking news, and listen, that's what's great about live radio, is when something happens, it's not an emergency podcast and then editing, and it's up 4 hours later. No, it is breaking news live. All right, so guys, this is, I tell you, when we go with guests, a lot of people like the big names. And when you have a national show, 200 stations nationwide, it's easy to get those big names. To me, I want a specialist. And we've got him, Ben Kercheval. And Ben, literally, all he's done, pretty much, his specialization since the AAF started was write about the AAF for CBS. And to me, I read through his Twitter today, and he's just totally on top of it. So let's start with Ben. Ben, first thing, what do you see as the top story today or the top element of this story? Obviously, the league potentially looks like very likely folding, feels like the big story. Is that what you see as the big story?
The one thing I can tell you, RJ, is that the fact that so many people in the AAF are in the dark about what Tom Dundon is going to do, to me, speaks total volumes about this situation. So Tom Dundon is the control owner of the AAF, and he got that title by, of course, he invested $250 million in the company in early February. He's the owner of the Carolina Hurricanes. And at the time, it was sort of paraded as, okay, we're a startup company that needs capital investments. He's coming in and not really being the savior that everyone was saying, but just that he's coming in injecting so much liquidity into this company that we can get another 3, 4, maybe even 5 years out of this. Until we have something later down the road, a better valuation, a partnership with the NFL. This gives us some breathing room. But basically ever since then, you know, Tom has control of the company and what it does. And I tell you, from talking to people around the Alliance, it was almost immediate remorse of having Tom on board. He has not consulted with anybody in terms of making these decisions, let alone speaking so publicly and candidly like he has. I've asked a number of people today, what is he, you know, what is he doing? What's his mindset? Why is he, you know, threatening to fold the league? Why is he now firing people, you know, in trying to get this whole thing shuttered? And every single response, literally every single one, has been, I don't know. I wish I could tell you. I mean, absolutely nobody is in Tom Dundon's head at this moment.
Okay, so part of the deal, and it was widely reported about that influx of money, is it your understanding, Ben, that part of that deal was to give Dundon complete control, meaning whatever decision he makes, is there any sense that there's any recourse? Is there any way for him to be outvoted? Or was part of the investment him having this type of fiat-type control?
Yeah, it was sort of undersold to me at the time how much of an influence he would have. But obviously, when you invest that much money, and not only does he have the owner's title of it, he was named like chairman of the board. Well, RJ, he is the board. he is the voice in terms of whether this thing goes or not. And, you know, not even Charlie Ebersol, who's the CEO, Bill Polian, who's the head of football. I mean, if they could overrule what he's doing, they would do it in a heartbeat, and they simply can't just because of the way that, that this is structured. But like I said, everyone that I've spoken to in the AAF is like, Tom has years of NFL experience available to him. They are all working underneath him already. All he has to do is consult with them, and he's not trying to do it. And publicly, the way that it's all been playing out is Dundon is, you know, of course, trying to strong-arm the NFLPA into, you know, letting us have your practice squad players. Let's get this thing moving. But, you know, talks between the AAF and the NFLPA have been fine. I mean, Bill Polian and Dee Smith know each other. They go way back. And so I'm sitting there like, is this – I'm asking people, is this really the sticking point for him to try to make 3 years of work, try to get accomplished in 3 weeks? And they're like, we don't think his actions match up to his words. There is a lot of distrust, obviously. But like I said, there are a lot of people, and high-ranking people no less, who are in the dark about this, and that is what is just so utterly stunning.
Wow.
I talked to a GM today. There was supposed to be a statement at 5 o'clock Eastern. I asked the GM, I go, well, what's in the statement? He goes, I don't know. I mean, no, like, nobody knows.
We're talking with Ben Kercheval, who literally, if you would have asked him yesterday, I guess same answer today, what's your focus writing for CBS? The AAF. That's a specialization we like. Very articulate, Ben. So let's keep discussing this. This is the first time I've been on with Ben. If I would have asked you yesterday, what's the odds this season doesn't finish for the AAF? What would you have said?
I would have said they were pretty high. I thought they were going to finish. So that comes from the fact.
So that's the point. This is a surprise.
Yeah. Everyone that I've talked to has been blindsided. Literally everyone is blindsided. And this goes down the whole ladder. This isn't just high, you know, front office personnel. This is everyone. So.
Okay. So Ben, let me jump in. Let me ask you this question. Is, other than the unknown, the Dundon, the influx money guy who's made this ultimate decision, other than the unknown of who knows what Dundon's going to do, what was the general optimism of how the AAF was going? Meaning, so we're hearing this decision is contrary to Ebersol, contrary to this GM, that GM. Were they feeling like, man, we finally got this thing going, or boy, we feel optimistic? Or were they feeling like, yeah, it's not going as well as we'd hope, but there's still a chance to turn it around? What was the general optimism other than the Dundon X factor?
So they were optimistic because when Dundon came in, even though he injected a lot of money into the alliance, the materialism of the AAF had not changed, right? Like, they aimed to be a development league. They had a couple of offers lined up. They took Tom's. So they didn't feel like anything had, other than the influx of cash, of being liquid, they didn't feel like the vision had changed at all. The only thing that meant was they had a longer period of time to do what they wanted.
So if anything, more optimistic yesterday than they were at the start of the season.
I guess technically, yes, although if you recall, Tom Dundon started going on the record about this last week. So the last week has been what has been tumultuous. What I will say, though, is I spoke to some people on Sunday. I went down and covered one of the games in San Antonio, and the people that I talked to, I said, you know, wait, what's going on with Tom? Is he really going to do this? And they said, you know, teams have already booked hotels for practices for the next few weeks. So it seemed like business as usual, and I think that's the blindsiding part of it, was even though there was these public comments from Dundon a week ago, there was still this idea that, okay, no, we're going to keep going with this thing. We're still doing it. So that gives you an idea of how quickly this whole thing has turned on its head.
This is RJ Bell, straight out of Vegas, talking with the AAF specialist at CBS Sports, Ben Kercheval. Last minute or two with him, but like Paul Harvey used to say, he was pretty good at radio. There's the rest of the story here that I find the most fascinating. There's a thought that there's an app, yes, one of those things on your phone, that was at the heart of all this, and that potentially the influx of money in the league from Dundon had nothing to do with the league. That it was almost like, yeah, we'll buy your property, and but we're going to tear down the diner because we got some condos going up. Ben, laid out for us, and I know you've been reporting on this. Tell us what we know for sure about this, I guess, rumor, and what is some of the speculation?
So that what you just said was the rumor. What I can tell you is that was not anyone's suspicion that I spoke with. And really, the bigger point is, because Tom, even if that was...
So let's lay out what the rumor was. Let's lay out the story about the app first.
Well, so that it was just what you said, which is that Tom Dundon invested a bunch of money to get to this technology that Charlie Ebersol had and was basically saying, okay, yeah, I might eat $70 million right away, but if I have access to the technology, then I can go make a Silicon Valley thing out of it and get, you know, hundreds of millions of dollars.
And this special technology was in-game prediction related. So the idea, so this is where the gambling angle comes all the way around, where the theory was there was some proprietary, truly differentiated technology that made the in-game betting experience. Will the next play be a run? Will it be a pass? Better than anyone else? And thus, that technology was worth more than the league. That was what Monday Morning Quarterback put out, kind of a vague quote or a vague tweet about it. And so is that correct that it was in-game betting related?
Yeah, that's my understanding of it. But understand this. If Tom Dundon wants to try to take that, he's going to get sued massively. I mean, that it's not like you – and furthermore, just because he's the control owner, I mean, he's not the CEO, right? I mean, it's not like you can just up and leave when you're done. I mean, there's a lot of complications associated with that. So
if this isn't the plan, then what's the plan? If you're telling me today things are – imagine there's a dog, a lot of dog lovers out there. And imagine your dog's old and the doctor says, you know, if things go bad, you know, we might have to, you know, put the dog out of its misery. It's going to be like, oh, no, no. But then if you go back a couple months later and the dog's healthier than he was a couple months ago and you say, yep, got to put him out of his misery. It's like, wait a minute. The dog's better than he was. If this Dundon put money in, under the assumption of the way things were 8 weeks ago or 10 weeks ago, and things haven't gotten any worse, why would he want all his money to become worthless unless there's some plan here?
You're asking me a question that I don't know. I don't have an answer to that because Tom is not one of my direct sources. So that's
which makes me guess there's something more to this story. And I'm guessing that if you look at, and I'm just going to make a prediction here, just 200 stations, just nationwide. Sometimes I do have premonitions, as they say. I'm going to make a prediction that if you look at part of the deal that he signed to influx the money, that there's always senior, subordinated, junior debt, who gets paid first, how do things get distributed out if there is a liquidation. I bet we're going to find out the part of this deal was he's first up with the distribution and he gets his choice of assets. That is going to be my prediction, and there's going to be something related to him, Gordon Gekko style, coming in and from the center ripping out this company like Blue Star Airlines. That's my prediction. Ben, I'll let last word on this one. Do you think I'm going to be right or wrong?
I think you're going to be wrong.
All right. So you're saying that this billionaire made an investment and now is irrationally, for no reason, folding the investment when things have improved since he made the investment.
I'm saying that if he tried to do that, he would get sued.
Well, hey, listen. People get sued every day. The question is who's going to beat them in court. This will be fun. Ben, you were excellent. So once again, this is Ben Kercheval on Twitter. It's Ben Kercheval, CBS Sports. Hopefully we'll have him on again. Thank you, Ben.
Thank you, RJ.
Have a good day. All right, guys. Jonas, what did you think of that?
I think you put him in a spot to where he didn't really know how to answer that.
That's why I got this job.
I know, and I do think that, and I kind of lean towards your angle on this because it's pretty abrupt, and everybody I've talked to didn't really see it going down like this. So,
and listen, everyone likes to say billionaires are dumb. You know, like, oh, that company's dumb. What does Taco Bell know? Okay, come on. This guy, if the league is at least as well off as it was before, and think about it. If the Ebersols of the world and everyone want to keep it going, why wouldn't he give him a chance to buy him out? Say, you know something? I've lost faith in this thing. I'll let you guys buy me out for, 75 cents on the dollar. He'd recapture at least 75 cents on the dollar. Ebersol and everyone can go raise some money, give him 6 months to do it. The way they're doing this is so specific. There's got to be a plan. Last thing, Fez.
Yeah, and the AAF is virtually at the finish line, RJ. There's only two more weeks in the season, and then there are only going to be three playoff games. Very curious.
Don't pull it out now. Don't worry, Fez. Your winning record will count still in your record. When we come back, guys, we're getting into college basketball. And oh, by the way, in the last segment, we've got a fellow from Detroit, a news anchor, who has covered all seven of Michigan State's Final Fours. Back in a minute.
That's coming up next. He's RJ Bell. I'm Jonas Knox, and this is the pregame show you always wanted right here on Fox Sports Radio.
Straight out of Vegas!
Be sure to catch live editions of Straight Out of Vegas weekdays at 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
I'm RJ Bell. We are Straight Out of Vegas.
And I'm Jonas Knox, voice of you, the fan. Coming up here in just a moment, we will tell you one of the big factors this upcoming weekend in the Final Four.
Each weekday, we have fun bringing the fun of Vegas straight to you. Right now on the Strip, it's 80 degrees. I want to personally thank Mo Green.
The city he invented was Las Vegas.
And the neon is pumping.
Guys, we know the matchups game-wise in the NCAA tournament this upcoming weekend in the Final Four, but one of the other matchups that we can talk about and one of the factors heading into this tournament and this Final Four is experience versus youth. RJ, what do you guys in Vegas see coming up this weekend?
Listen, we gave Brad a lot of love yesterday, rightfully so.
Welcome to Mirage, Mr. Papa Giorgio.
When it came to him seeing first that Duke's three-pointers, or lack thereof, were a historic problem. Not a problem, but a problem that would have taken a historic event to overcome. And he was right, made a lot of money for it. Well, he's seeing something when it comes to experience versus youth. Now, we've said this the whole tournament, and we've been saying it at pregame.com for years, which is this is unlike anything else, the NCAA tournament. And the Final Four is unlike any part of the tournament other than the Final Four. You can't understand it till you live it, might be the way to say it. And history tells us now that that experience is very valuable. Brad Powers.
Yeah, so since 1985, there's been 14 schools that have made their Final Four debut. So no other time prior in their school history, they made the Final Four. This would be their first Final Four appearance. Of those 14 schools to make their debut, only 4 out of 14 have advanced to the championship game.
All right, so that just requires winning the one game.
Yep.
So they were 4-10 straight up in that first game.
Yep. And then only one, Connecticut in 1999, was able to win the national championship in their first Final Four debut.
So 1-13, the Final Four virgins, we'll call it, 1-13 winning the title. And who's the Final Four?
We have two, actually, this year. It's actually Auburn and Texas Tech making the Final Four for the first time ever.
And oh, by the way, Auburn also gets winnowed out by
one of our favorite trends, the number or the champion has been a four seed or better 29 of the last 30 years. So, hey, listen, history gets bucked all the time. Doesn't mean it's impossible. But what we're trying to do is we're trying to play the percentages. And I'll tell you right now, the virgin teams. Now, you know, to me, I would make the case if a team made it in 1960 and then they make it this year, they wouldn't be a virgin team.
Yeah.
Obviously, any trend is going to be imperfect like that. Amongst the coaches, what's the Final Four appearance tally?
Eight total Final Fours combined.
How's eight that combined. Split up?
Tom Izzo, eight. Everyone else, zero.
Okay. So now, this is one you may not know off the top of your head. I'm RJ Bell, straight out of Vegas, talking about experience in the Final Four with Brad Powers. Has any of these head coaches been assistants on teams that went to the Final Four?
Yeah, Tony Bennett, he's the Virginia.
Well, first off, the fact Brad knows that right off the top.
I read 9 newspapers a day.
Yeah, Tony Bennett's the Virginia head coach. He was assistant coach when his dad, Dick Bennett, took Wisconsin to the Final Four.
Dickie Bennett.
Yeah, Dick Bennett in 2000.
And
from everyone else, I don't know.
But could be.
Yeah.
All right, so why don't we make this a little tease ahead till tomorrow? Let's take a gander at these coaches. Because even though you're not making every decision, when Belichick went to all those Super Bowls with Parcells, he learned a few things, right? So he wasn't as inexperienced entering that Rams game way back when with Brady in his second year as, let's say, a coach had never been to the Super Bowl. So let's take a gander and see the number of Final Four experiences that these head coaches have had, even as non-head coaches, because we know Izzo's the only one as a head coach.
Guys, we've got a major announcement in college basketball coming up here in just one moment. We do want to let you know Straight Outta Vegas is brought to you by Maaco. You might not be able to get a new car with your tax refund, but you can make your car feel like it's brand new. All it needs is a great paint job. Come into Maaco today and get your dream paint job during their tax season sales event. There were a lot of rumblings that John Calipari may be on his way out of Kentucky. UCLA was one of the schools mentioned, but not so fast as Kentucky. Calipari has inked what is called a lifetime contract to stay the head coach at the University of Kentucky.
Now, is that the major announcement, or is there another one coming?
No, this is the major announcement, John Calipari.
Okay, you mean from like 6-7 hours ago?
Well, but listen, people may just be waking up in a stupor in Vegas.
Just because you wake up sometimes at 2:30, Jonas.
There's nothing wrong with that. I mean, AM or PM.
All right, I got to be honest with you, and we like to do it. We like to disagree. If it's legitimate, embrace a debate, but be genuine. Cold cash over hot takes. I'm a big, when it comes to college sports, especially in the SEC, in that area, Clay Travis knows his stuff. Morning host here, FSR. I would say I agree with Clay, you know, probably as much as the average host. But boy, did I disagree with him today. This was all big, like, let's be a little nice, and now I'm going to crush him. He was ranting and raving. He had out his abacus. You know, we could have lent him our adding machine if he wanted. And he was saying, well, Kentucky, you know, and again, my buddy Bob Stoops there, Mark Stoops there as football head coach. If you look at the amount of money the Kentucky program generates in football and compare it to basketball, it's more in football. So how can so-and-so or how can Calipari get this much money? And then it's like $9.1 million versus Coach K. And then you divide the number of titles. There were all these like crazy calculations about how Calipari is overpaid. Now, first off, we can debate any coach making millions of dollars, but we're saying relative to today's market. And to me, the mistake Clay's making is the mistake most people make when they mess up or they make the wrong move in a game. They don't know the rules. They don't know what is really being discussed. And in my opinion, and this is an opinion, Clay can disagree gladly, hopefully with the same amount of respect, Clay is making it like, well, if we can only sell that luxury box, or if Marlboro, or if, you know, cigarette company XYZ comes in, or internet company XYZ, and they buy the naming rights for our practice facility, all of a sudden now the economics – of Calipari's contract makes sense. That's not what we're talking about here. What we're talking about literally is Dillon, Texas. Do you think that the Dillon Panthers were thinking about, oh, when we bring in Voodoo Tatum and if we give his dad a job down there at the car factory with Buddy Garrity, that somehow is that going to be like economically valid?
This is the game that people are going to talk about for years to come.
No, it's literally the reason to live. The number one reason to live for people in Dillon, Texas, the fictitious school. By the way, Peter Berg was on the Fox set, and I got a chance to shake his hand down at the Super Bowl and thank him. I didn't want to bother him. I said, thank you for Friday Night Lights. And the reality is, not everybody in Kentucky, but the Kentucky fans, every year they feel like they have a chance to win the
Absolutely.
Title. They win one title out of 10 or whatever. Hey, maybe they should have won two. Maybe they should have won three. But I got to be honest, it wasn't that long ago. Kentucky wasn't in the conversation. What was that A&M coach they got?
Billy Gillespie.
Yeah, who I liked him when he was at A&M.
Yep.
Bring him in. No, they don't have to have. There's no Billy Gillespie's around. And that last $2 or $3 million, I don't know how it looks on the spreadsheet with all the calculations, but literally for the worldview, the self-image of the state, they now feel like for the next 10 years, they are going to be Kentucky basketball competitive for a national title. And to me, it might sound funny to say a couple million here, a couple million there shouldn't matter. But let's be candid. As long as they're breaking even, if the choice is break even and be happy or make some money and be and have your self-image crushed in the ground, I say break even as a businessman. So I think Clay's probably right. Mathematically, economically, it doesn't make sense. But that isn't the question. The question is, what is being bought by Kentucky? And it's a contented life for the Kentucky fans. And a couple extra million for Calipari probably doesn't mean a lot, in my opinion. In just 1 minute, we're going to have an early edition for TV games, which you need to know.
That's coming up next, but for all the latest, it's Steve DeSager.
The AP College All-American team is out today. It includes Duke freshman Zion Williamson and RJ Barrett. Williamson was unanimous on all 64 ballots. The only other freshman teammates to make the first team ever were Kentucky's John Wall and DeMarcus Cousins in 2010. Also on the first team this season, Tennessee's Grant Williams, Murray State's Ja Morant, and Michigan State's Cassius Winston. Among the second teamers, Gonzaga's Rui Hachimura and Texas Tech's Jarrett Culver. Coach Kelvin Sampson is closing in on a new contract to stay at Houston. He got a 6-year, $18 million last week, according to the Houston Chronicle. They said that was the offer. The Alliance of American Football is suspending operations. The Dallas Cowboys extended defensive end Randy Gregory's contract through 2020, according to NFL.com. He's currently serving a fourth suspension. Seahawks quarterback Russell Wilson, according to the Seattle Times, has given the team an April 15th deadline to finish negotiations on a new deal. He has 1 year left on his current contract. Four NBA games tonight, including the late game Denver at Golden State. Now, the NBA regular season ends a week from tomorrow night. The Nuggets are right now second in the Western Conference, one game behind the Warriors. Three Warriors players were fined by the league today for criticizing the refs last week. The Wizards fired team president Ernie Grunfeld after 16 years there. U.S. women's soccer's players will now get a bonus check from a sponsor, making their bonus money equal to what the U.S. men get. In Major League Baseball, the feature matchup top of the hour, Philadelphia 3-0 at Washington against Max Scherzer and the Nationals. Bryce Harper is back in D.C. Chance of rain, though, for this game, and there's tarp on the field. Tampa Bay at 4-1 will be hosting Colorado. The Rockies say infielder Daniel Murphy will miss at least a month with a broken finger. One of the late games has the Dodgers hosting Madison Bumgarner and the Giants. San Francisco acquired outfielder Kevin Pillar from Toronto today. Cleveland All-Star shortstop Francisco Lindor could miss at least 3 weeks with his sprained ankle. And the Braves gave outfielder Ronald Acuna an 8-year, $100 million contract plus two club option years, the longest deal ever for someone with so little service time in the majors. He was the NL Rookie of the Year last season. Jonas, back to you.
Thanks, Steve. Straight out of Vegas here on Fox Sports Radio. Coming up in 12 minutes from now here on FSR, we will take a closer look at the Final Four this upcoming weekend. I'm Jonas Knox, voice of you, the fan. He's the voice of Vegas, RJ Bell.
Yeah, we have a special guest the last segment, Jonas. He is the, maybe, I think, we're still researching, the only person to cover on site every Izzo Final Four appearance out of Detroit TV. We'll be doing that in just a few minutes, but we always keep our commitment. Four TV games, we're going to go over four of them rapid fire. I might put a little music in the background to keep them moving.
Guys, let's start in the NBA. We've got a doubleheader on TNT tipping off at 8 Eastern time. It's the Lakers at the Thunder. Right now, OKC, a 12-point favorite.
And I lean to the Lakers plus 12. The Lakers have not been playing hard since the All-Star break. But guess what? They shut down LeBron, and last game, the Lakers played hard. Not only did they win big, but they brought the best defensive effort I've seen in over 2 months. I'm going to lean Lakers in this game.
So you're saying if LeBron came back, announced that he was going to play today, would you still like the Lakers?
Well, the point spread would get adjusted.
And would you still like the Lakers?
I would not, RJ.
Fez saying, no LeBron, give me some Lakers action. By the way, guys, comparing LeBron getting shut down, on my Twitter, I put out, how many games did Michael Jordan miss his last 10 full seasons leading up to his last with the Bulls? You will not believe the answer. It's on my Twitter right now, at RJ in Vegas.
The Nuggets are at the Warriors coming up later on, and Golden State is an 8.5-point favorite.
And I'm going to lean to Golden State minus the 8.5 here. All about maximum motivation for Golden State, who frankly has kind of just dozed through the season, done the minimum effort, but they only have a one-game lead in the West. A win tonight virtually locks up home court in the West for Golden State.
So what's the line?
The line is Golden State minus 8.5. It's pricey, RJ.
All right, so let's think about this. So this is the first and second best team in the West. 8.5 implies both teams. Now, is Denver 100% healthy?
Yes.
So both teams playing at their max are saying Golden State's about 4.5 points better.
Yes.
Is that what your power rating
is? Power ratings only have them 2.5 points better, but that's our regular season power rating. I think the flip gets switched, maximum intensity Golden State tonight.
The flip gets switched or the switch gets flipped. We'll see.
We got two more games to preview coming up momentarily. Want to let you know that we are brought to you by Maaco. You might not be able to get a new car with your tax refund, but you can make your car feel like it's brand new. All it needs is a great paint job. Come into Maaco today and get your dream paint job during their tax season sales event. To Madison Square Garden we go. We've got the NIT semifinals. First up, tipping off in a little over 20 minutes from now, it is Lipscomb with a 1-point favorite right now on pregame.com, favored by 1 over Wichita State.
Lean on Wichita State for me, plus the 1, and it's all about Wichita State not being priced accordingly in the marketplace. Why? Wichita State had a fundamental change in their season this year, and it's quite simply, coming into the year, Wichita State was one of the least experienced teams in the country. Zero returning starters for Wichita State. So they started off the season very slow. They really picked it up, Wichita State, the last 17 games, 14-3. Wichita State undervalued. Lean Wichita State.
TCU, a 1-point favorite over Texas.
I like this one, and I bet this one. I'm going under the total, under 137.5 TCU Texas, and it's all about the familiarity between these two teams that are playing their third time already this season. What I've seen from TCU when they match up against Texas, TCU likes to run up and down the floor some tempo, but against Texas, they figured out a formula. They've been much more slower in tempo, much more efficient. Last 12 meetings between these two, 10 of them went under the total, and RJ, this is big picture. Semifinals, Madison Square Garden, last 9 years, 16-2 to the under by 10 points.
So think about that. 9 years, 2 games in the semis, that's 18.
Yep.
2 times the game went over, 16 times the game went under. And you think the team matchup helps with the under here, too.
Absolutely.
So this is a big bet. Say it one more time.
Like and bet under 137.5 TCU in Texas.
I like that one myself. When we come back, special guest, Michigan State. He's covered 7 Final Fours.
That's coming up next. He's RJ Bell. I'm Jonas Knox, and this is the pregame show you always wanted right here on Fox Sports Radio.
Be sure to catch live editions of Straight Outta Vegas weekdays at 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. Pacific.
I'm RJ Bell. We are Straight Outta Vegas.
And I'm Jonas Knox, voice of You, the Fan. We will take a closer look at one of the teams being represented this weekend in the Final Four.
Listen, I'm a fan of specialists. When I hear someone that only bets the Olympics every 4 years, he's got a curling best bet, I'm taking off the rubber band.
Why don't you stick to what you know?
That's my approach. And we've got 4 teams in the Final Four, obviously. And we're going to take a little trip around the country and try to get a true expert for each team. Bernie Fratto, the weekend host of SOV weekend, 11 p. right here, 11 Pacific p.m. to midnight every Saturday. Jonas's opening act for his 6-hour overnight shift on Saturday night.
Well, not
Is
anymore.
It 6 or 7?
Not anymore.
Oh, well,
I got moved to earlier in Saturday now. So now I'm the opening act for Bernie.
So really what you're saying is since you've hooked up with me, your career is just
skyrocketing. Yes.
I mean, it's like a big, and it doesn't even matter that big dispute with Colin.
No,
I mean,
not at all, no.
This guy's overcoming it. So Bernie knows Detroit. He grew up in Detroit, and he said, there's one guy you got to talk to, Fred Heumann, sports director at WLNS-TV. He just came off the air. He's wiping off the makeup. He's on a landline for us. How you doing, Fred?
I wear a lot of makeup because I am visually challenged.
Hey,
how
listen,
you doing, AJ?
Admitting it is the first step. I'm RJ Bell, straight out of Vegas, talking with Fred Heumann, expert when it comes to Michigan State. So let me get this straight. How many Final Fours have you covered, Fred?
Well, I've been to one fewer than Tom Izzo, and I always tell him this. I've been to 7 because the one that he went to, his second one, I was on my honeymoon, so I watched the games from a cruise ship, and I covered Michigan in the Final Four in 1989 on that when I was in Detroit when Steve Fisher took over the team, and Bo Schembechler got rid of Bill Frieder because a Michigan man is going to coach the Michigan team, and I covered that whole run. That was my first one. And then I've been to 6 more with Tom Izzo, so that's 7.
Wow. And again, obviously very connected with the organization. Let's start with why experience matters. We've got all kind of trends, all kind of numbers that say the Final Four is unlike any other event, and that if you've got experience in the Final Four, it's a huge benefit. From what you can see, is that true and why?
Well, yeah, I think it is true, and I think it was telling in these last couple of victories by Michigan State, even though Duke is, hey guys, listen, they're probably a little better team. They got all the talent in the world. They had all those kids on the floor, and the way Izzo does things, though he had 2 lottery picks and a couple of 2-and-done guys last year, he doesn't really get or go after the 1-and-done players. He goes after some of them, doesn't always get them. So a lot of Izzo's guys are here 3 and 4 years. Cassius Winston was named first team All-American today. He's only a junior. So you talk about the 2 prominent seniors on this team in Kenny Goins, who hit the game-winning shot, and Matt McQuaid, who had that miraculous spin shot. Those guys are seniors. Not many teams they play have seniors. It's just the way the lay of the land in college basketball. And I think down the stretch of the Duke game, I think down the stretch of a couple of tournament games, and I know down the stretch of all 3 times they played a very good Michigan team, Michigan's younger, that experience mattered and it counted. When it came to stretch time, those seniors produced really big moments and really clutch shots. Add that to Cassius Winston being a junior who's playing like a senior, and you have a team really with a ton of experience. You just don't see that around the country with a prominent junior and 2 prominent seniors.
And by almost any account, no 1-and-dones on any of the 4 Final Four teams. So I think Fred is right. Experience with the players, juniors and seniors, for example, very key when it comes to college basketball, which makes it feel more democratic. It makes it feel more, yeah, hey, you're just not going to be able to recruit your way to a title, though obviously the Dukes of the world are always going to be competitive with their 1-and-doneers. Now, here's a little subset of that question, Fred. What about experience in the Final Four itself? So, for example, we've got an interesting stat that says that when a program goes to the Final Four for the first time, they are 4-and-10 straight up in that semifinal game. And only 1 of those 14 won the title. So, yeah, we can say stat, you know, small sample size, et cetera. I've always been a believer that Izzo having that big number of Final Four appearances in this game is going to be a huge advantage against 3 coaches with a combined 0 trips to the Final Four. You've been there a bunch. How does experience going to the Final Four, how is that advantageous in your experience?
Well, I'm a little biased because I've known Izzo since he was a grad assistant here, when I was making more money than him. So I've known this guy for 35 years, and so I'm an Izzo guy, but I think it's a huge advantage. And I don't say just Izzo guys. I talk about his staff. His assistant head coach, Dwayne Stevens, has been here 14 years now. Another assistant has been here on and off between other stints like 20 years. Dane Fife, a highly regarded assistant, has been here, you know, 8-9 years. They just have, and they are so good at the weekend prep. They don't go to win a Thursday game. They go to win a Thursday, Saturday game or a Friday, Sunday game. Izzo talked about it at his press conference today. We're there to win another weekend. Yeah, we got to beat Texas Tech and we got to get to Monday and win that. And they are so good. They stay up all night. Izzo has Magic Johnson and Steve Mariucci and all his buddies in his room to break down film, and they break this down, and they break it down, and they have all their video guys, and it's an edge. They prepare for a weekend like nobody else.
Last question, one-word answer. Is this Tom Izzo's best coaching job?
Yeah, I think so. Yes, I absolutely do. And I've told him that. I think that he absolutely has been.
Fred Heumann, WLNS-TV, Sports Director, Detroit, friend of Bernie Fratto. Thank you so much, Fred.
Thanks, guys. Say hi to Bernie, as I will, too. Thanks for having me on.
Absolutely. Guys, we got it from the ground, and we'll be doing that the rest of the week, starting probably tomorrow in Lubbock.
The Odd Couple is up next here on Fox Sports Radio. We are straight out of Vegas, back tomorrow, 6 p.m. Eastern Time, 3 o'clock Pacific, right here on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com and within the